Amen. If we bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege to assemble ourselves together in thy name. And believing, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and that from within thee, the fountain of life, you sent forth an original seed life. And the Father, all the life that was in the Father was poured into the Son, and that to whomsoever he will. And so, Lord, we realize that we as seeds must come forth in the image and after the likeness of the original seed. And so, Father, as we study this great sermon which your prophet gave to us, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us and help us, Lord, as we endeavor to cope with our fallibility as human vessels, and yet realizing that we have an infallible God who has come down to give us infallible life. And so, Lord, may we receive that life, and may it manifest itself in these vessels, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's stand one more time and we'll open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 18 for reading of the Word. And I'd like to read almost the entire chapter. We'll take this for our text for our message this morning. Genesis 18, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground, and he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Yet a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the men, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord also old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At that time appointed I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children in his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have altogether done according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their face from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Let's bow our heads one more time in honor of his word. Dear Father, we see that this scene that has been played out in the days of Abraham, our father, when you personally came down to visit your prophet before the arrival of the promised son. We pray, Father, that you would help us to set aside all of our thoughts that would be contrary to your word this day, and help us to understand that Alpha must repeat in Omega. And what you did then, you have come down to do in this hour, and you have done so. Help us to see our part of this picture as the royal seed of Abraham, For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name, the royal original seed of Abraham, in which we are ordained to be conformed to the original born seed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to read from paragraph 20, or actually about 20 paragraphs from Brother Branham's sermon, as he explains to us this scene that we've just read from Genesis 18. And since this is a lot of reading, let's begin now to read from the Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 124. And in your booklets there, it's paragraph 263. Now, let's see. I've got to try to get at least about 15 pages here right quick, and I just hate to do that, but I'm going to have to run over it, because if I don't, then I'll be this afternoon, and I got a meeting tomorrow. And I just got to hurry now. All right. Now, we'll try to make it just a little quicker if we can, snap into it. Are you believing? Paragraph 125. All right. And when so, the Bible is manifested again like in the early days of Christ, see? Because you are predestinated seed just like Christ, and when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself. When the Holy Spirit falls, now, when it fell on those seed that Jesus said he chose them, when? Before the foundations of the world. Then they were a predestinated seed, is that right? Then here they haul themselves up in the upper room, these seeds, the Word, and the Word was laying on there without life in it. All of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as the waters begins to gush down. And it actually filled all the house where they were setting, and the seeds begin to grow. It begin to manifest itself, the Word of God being manifested. Now, remember, just maybe 15 minutes earlier in his sermon, paragraph 92, paragraph 72, Brother Branham was talking about how the seed has to be planted and then watered. And he said it needs to be watered and watered and watered, and then it'll pop, pop, pop and bring out, you know, all of its things there. So Brother Branham was talking about how that seed needed to be watered. The word seed was in those vessels, but it hadn't been watered yet, you see. All right. Why then has the revival fires lit up? Now, I got about 10 scriptures here, if you could just notice it on here, that I ought to say, but I've got to skip over a lot of it. And I'm just, so you get the outline of it. All right. Why then has the revival fires let up? Now, I've got to call names. I won't do it after this, lest God tells me to, but I've got to call names. I've got to say things that I don't want to say. But in order to make this clear, you can see now where I'm getting to, the reason I've done what I've done. I believe this is the Word, and I believe that Christ has the church, and the church is the field. We'll get to it after a while. And you've got to get the Word in the field before the Spirit can do anything, see? 127. Why then has the revival fires let up? You don't hear very much more of Billy Graham like great evangelists. Or Roberts is not burning the country like he used to. My meetings is not even heard of. There's just three. What's the matter? Now, we're going to get some real deep teaching. I'm going to have to just use it now. And if this tape should fall into the hands of Billy Graham or Oral Roberts, I want you to know, my brethren, that I'm not disregarding you. I'm taking myself, if you notice, in there as your fellow brother in the gospel. And I think after this, you'll have a better understanding, brethren, of why I did have done the things that I've done. And I hope that I find grace in the sight of God and before you in being honest and truthful to tell you the reason why. Now, Billy Graham, the world was burning here not long ago with Billy Graham. You very seldom hear of it now. He's still going, but what's the matter? Oral Roberts, my, just burning the earth up, dying down. Tommy Osborne, all of them are good, godly men. What's happened? Believing that God called me for a ministry, what's happened to mine? Now here's going to answer some questions. What happened? Well, you say, Brother Branham, yours is the deadest of all of them. Well, that's true. That is right. Billy Graham's more heard of than I am, and Billy's more heard of than Oral. Oral's more heard of in one day than I am in 6 months. Tommy Osborne, Tommy Hicks, any of those godly men, they're more heard of. So as far as that turns, mine's farther away than all of them. What's happened? Brother Branham, you say that you was telling us here now that you actually believe that the Word and everything. Well, what's happened to you then? What's taking place? That's what we want to know. That's what we want to know. See, Brother Branham is not looking at his life and saying, well, I must have done something wrong, and that's why things are quiet. No, he's saying something is happening. You see, in a symphony, there's a pause, and many times there's many pauses in a symphony, and that is to give emphasis to something. Just like when a person preaches and they speak, they don't just speak like brrrr without a pause. They may speak pretty fast, like we sound like we're much faster than y'all sound down south. But the thing is, there's a reason for a pause when you're speaking. There's a reason for a pause in a symphony. There's a reason for a pause in the great symphony that God is working. And so Brother Branham says, so what has taken place? That's what we want to know. That's what we want to know. He says it twice. 129. Now, put her down in your mind. Pull down the umbrella and shake the rain off and open up your heart just a minute and listen. Remember, the Bible said in Genesis, the first chapter that we read to base our thought for the day, is every seed after its kind. It'll have to bring forth after its kind. That's right. Every seed will have to bring. Remember, the earth is full of seeds, and that the rains makes it bring forth after its kind. I believe it is near the harvest time. Don't you believe it? You all agree with that? We are near the harvest time. Now, the seeds has been planted. That's what's the matter with us. The seeds has been planted. Oh God, I wish that you could see what's passed before me then. The seeds has been planted. Remember, there's a planting time, then a harvest time. They know, they said so. And one thing I want you to understand, and I think we'll get a good understanding of this morning, is that he's making the emphasis that there's a time of planting, then a time of harvest. And the time of planting is never right after. Is never just before the time of harvest. There's a season in between. And that season in between is when everything lays silent. You see? Because there's a breaking down of the seed. Just as there had to be a breaking down of that seed germ, or that word of God, you know, that message. All right, paragraph 130. All right. Now, there has been three different kinds of seeds planted. A denominational, Billy Graham, he was a head planter. Oral Roberts for the Pentecostal. Pentecostal seeds been planted. Notice, when he said he was a head planter, he's talking about intellectual knowledge. You see? Then you had the emotional. You had the Pentecostal. You had Oral Roberts. Now, you'll have to understand, folks, I ain't saying this no more or less God tells me. I want you to get this good and clear. Three seeds has been planted. That's the reason the planting is just over. After he said, let me just back up. Paragraph 130. All right, now, there has been three different kinds of seeds planted. A denominational, Billy Graham, he was a head planter. Oral Roberts for the Pentecostal. Pentecostal seeds been planted. I'm talking about organization now. And then the word's been planted. Now, you have to understand, folks, I ain't saying this no more or less God tells me. I want you to get this good and clear. Three seeds have been planted. That's the reason the planting is just about over. See, all over. Seeds must be planted before the rainfall. That's right. Or otherwise, the Spirit. Now, you're going to disagree there, but just hold on for a minute. See? Seeds must be planted, and then the rain falls to water the seed. Is that right? Now, I want, is there anybody in here that understands Hebrew, who knows Hebrew words? All right? You look it up if you want to. Now, we're hearing so much in so many organizations and everything else talking about the latter rain. Nonsense. No such a thing. Sometimes happening. I can just see it passing before me. It's done, caught the Spirit. See? Amen. I know this is truth. It's thus saith the Lord by vision. See? Just moving and coming. Can't hardly get. Look down here. Every time I look, I see it just moving up in front of me like that and breaking off and move this way and look this way, and even been trying to watch some fellow sitting around down here and look away and everything, and I look and it's like there it is, see? All right, let's go back and try it again. Be sure that I got it in there. I don't know what exactly happened along that line, but look, 132. I believe that it is near the harvest time. The seeds have been planted. Denominational seed of the church, such as evangelicals like Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and the Pentecostal seeds has been planted into the Pentecostal organization by great men like Oral Roberts, Tommy Hicks, Tommy Osborne, great men of God. See, and I believe that the Word of God has been planted unadulterated away from any of those organizations. That's what's the matter. See, the seed must have seed water before it can grow. It must have water to fall before the seed that's been planted can grow. Now, why you say, Brother Branham, there's been... Now, I know that's right. Catching your thoughts now, you see. You just can't hide it now. See? All right? So be careful what you're thinking. Now, the seed must be planted, and then it must have water in order to grow. Now, you say, well, Brother Branham, I'm going to express your thoughts on there. We've had the water. Well, so be it. That's correct. You've had the water. Did you ever plant cabbage or anything, or seeds or something or other like that? You usually ain't got no water. They just pour a little on it. See? All right? But now, wait. What did we have in that planting time? The former rain. Oh, you say, Brother Branham, nonsense. Now, wait just a minute. You take the word former in Joel 2 and look at it and see if the word, the Hebrew word, go to the Hebrew and see if it don't. If you want to write it down, M-O-U-R-E-H, mora, and get the Hebrew word and interpret and see what mora means. Teaching, amen. The teaching rain has went forth. The denominational teaching rain has went forth. A million more in 44, Baptists. So-and-so, members in the church. Or Roberts and them, brothers with the Pentecostal move, the economic or the great Pentecostal move, then moved up into the millions. See? That's right. And the seed has went forth and the word for the minority, the group. I'd like to just stop here for just a moment and just say now, there are about a dozen times in Scripture that the words latter rain are used by God Himself and His prophets. The first time it was spoken of by God or of God was through Moses. And around the same time then the book of Job was written. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 14 we read, "That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season." So God is telling us here that the rains are for a specific season. He said that he would send the rains in their due season, or in other words, when they are due according to the season thereof. Then he promised the first rain, which according to the Hebrew word yoreh, means that the autumn rain and is also called the former rain. Now it's interesting that this first rain he promised here is in the autumn, which is completely different from the planting seasons that we have in America. You see? But here the planting is before winter, in the fall or the autumn. And then the seed lays dormant in the soil during the cold winter months, which winter is identified with burial as the snow comes to cover the seeds in the ground and keep them warm under a blanket of snow. And in that moist and warm condition, the shell begins to wear away, you see, exposing the germ of life to the soil. This is the first rain that is to fall on the early planting of the crop to begin the growing cycle of the seeds that were planted. It is the first rain or the teaching rain, as we'll find Brother Branham explaining a little later on in our reading. But then God promises another rain that is to come after this planting and this watering has taken place, after it's sat for a season. And remember, the winter is a dark time. It's dark, it's cold, it gets dark early, and it's very silent. You don't hear the chirping of birds. You don't hear, you know, life moving around, the bees buzzing, things like that. It's just very, everything lays in quiet. You see? But then God promises another rain that is to come before the harvest time, so the planting of the Lord will grow to its full potential. He says, and the latter rain, or the Malkush rain, which is called the spring rain. And it is given to bring up the plant into its fully mature state, which the seeds come up in the springtime, is a type of the resurrection which took place in the spring and will take place according to the vindicated prophet of God in the springtime. From a curtain of time, Brother Ram said, Brother, botany don't only mean flowers and things, it means resurrection too in that case. Amen. Just as the springtime, when the Easter flowers are blooming, everything's so pretty, a very type of nature, resurrection has to come in the spring. That's the reason the resurrection is in the springtime. Resurrection of everything. And surely the King of nature resurrected, the Creator of nature resurrected with the rest of the resurrection of nature. So notice then that the spring rain, or the latter rain, is for what? He says, that thou mayest gather in the corn and thy wine and thine oil. So we see that the latter rain is promised in order to bring the seeds that were planted in the former rain under the mora rain, or the first teaching rain, and they had to lay there a long spell, as Brother Branham said, laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. You see? They had to lay there a long spell and be covered over for a season until the springtime or the time of the resurrection, which signifies the harvest time. Now, the next time in Scripture that we see this scene of the former and the latter rain spoken of is in the book of Job, which was said to be written in the time of when Moses walked the earth. Now, there are many metaphors used in the book of Job. As Brother Branham said, Job was a sort of typologist himself. But notice carefully his words and the images they conjure up. In Job chapter 29, verse 19, we read, "My root was spread out by the waters." Now, David used the same metaphor in the first psalm when he said, "And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So Job goes on, he says, "My root was spread out by the waters." And then he said, "And the dew lay all night upon my branch." Now the dew is his speech, as he tells us in Deuteronomy 32, when the scripture says, my doctrine shall fall as the rain, and my speech as the dew. You see? And so the speech, or those tapes, I kind of look at it that way, shall lay all night upon the branch. And of course, we are the branches and Christ is the vine. So you see that speech, that word of God, lays upon us. When that first rain comes down, that teaching rain or that spring rain, you know, it actually gets, autumn rain, that it lays in there, it moistens that seed, it lays in the ground, the ground is moistened. Then the ground is covered over with a blanket of snow, and that heats it up down there. And the germatization begins, the process begins, the water to help wear that down, that outer shell, that worldly nature, you see. And then, you know, by the washing of water, by the word. And then this, when the life is exposed, you see, then comes the latter rain. And to bring it in, at that point, into full maturity, full mature plant. Now, verse 20, he says, "My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand." So this speaks of resurrection talk here, as in the springtime when the plants come up and they're renewed again. "Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silent at my counsel." Unto me men gave ear, unto whom? Unto the word. And men waited in long silence for that voice to speak again. Remember, Brother Branham said, "I'll ride this trail again." He said that voice had to lay silent in the grave. You see? "After my words they spoke not again. They were not able to echo back what I was saying for a long season. And my speech dropped upon them." Notice he says, "My speech dropped on them." These are the same words that Moses uses in Deuteronomy 32 when God says, "My speech shall drop as the dew and my doctrine as the rain." "And they waited for me as for the rain." Notice they waited for me. The word for the rain, the doctrine to come. "And they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain." Now if the rain according to Deuteronomy speaks of the doctrine of God, and there's a former rain and a latter rain, then there has to be a teaching rain former and a teaching rain latter. The latter doctrinal teaching. The NIV puts it this way, "They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain." I believe that's what we're doing here in church this morning and what we've been doing by God's grace for the last as many years as you can recall, because the prophet has been off the scene longer than many of you have even been in this world. Now from his sermon, "Glorify Jesus," Brother Branham said, "Job, knowing that someday he watched a little old seed rot away. He said, I watch a seed when it goes into the ground, the flower gives up the spirit. It goes down into the ground. The winters come, freeze, rot the little seed away. But in the springtime, it resurrects again. He said, a wind comes and blows down a tree and takes it away. Yet there's a stump that's in the ground. It comes forth and buds, brings another tree. But man layeth down, yea, giveth up the ghost. He wastes away. His sons come to mourn. He perceives it not, and he never come back. What's the matter with that? Said, oh that you would keep me in the grave, hide me in the secret place till thy wrath be past." And then, see, he was reasoning it out, all private knowledge, sense, and reason. Then all of a sudden, God to any just man, to any man that's come, God's provided a way of escape from sickness. Job was trying to get away from his sickness. Then he knew he was going to die. He said, now, if I go into the dust, how am I ever coming from there? I have never seen one come forth. I've seen all the seeds go into the earth, all the types. He was a typologist. He said, but man layeth down, then where is he? Then God's under obligation to reveal it. So then without the scriptures, God gave Job a revelation of the coming of the Son of God. Then when Job stood up and the lightning flashed and the thunders roared, he said that in the last days that he would see his Redeemer. Remember Job's famous words. He said that though the skin worms devour my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see my God. I think it's interesting that in the winter time, before the winter time, you have the autumn rain and seeds are planted in the ground and they lay in there, and then the ground freezes, because if it doesn't, the snow won't stay. But the ground freezes, the snow covers it over. Then in that frozen condition, that seed that's wet in the ground, when it freezes, it has to break. It has to expand. That's what begins that process of the breaking down, is that cold indifference. It's that laying there. And then the sun comes up in the springtime, the melts away everything, and it's all, that shell is all broken up. It's like the little bird, he has to peck his way out. He doesn't come out of just a beautiful, you know, like a laser hole. He's got to peck, 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 and that shell has to be broken. And so God has to break down our shell, you know, getting us ready for manifested sons of God to come forth in the image of the firstborn son. So we see then that the latter rain speaks of the spring rain, which is the harvest rain, right before the time of the harvest or resurrection. And notice that the first rain comes, then the voice lays silent in the grave. The seed lays dormant in the ground. So there must be a latter rain or harvest teaching rain that will awaken those that sleep for the coming into full maturity for harvest. In Zechariah 10 and verse 1, he says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Again, we see the scripture speaks of a latter rain. Now, the scripture most looked to concerning the former and the latter rain is Joel 2 and verse 23. Brother Branham was referring to that in this sermon. It says, be glad then, ye children of Zion. And Brother Branham taught us that when the word Zion is spoken of in the scripture, it refers to the bride. And it says, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. Well, what's rain? It's teaching, right? It's doctrine. So the former rain was given moderately. Now, what does moderately mean? Adam, what does moderately mean?
Not too much, not a little, but in the middle.
All right. Not too much. In other words, not abundantly, but given in moderation. Just enough. Just enough. You see? Now, here's a clue that we have. The former rain is given in moderation. Now, that means it was not given in great detail. Brother Branham, on the Godhead, on our relationship with the Father and the relationship with the Son, he gave it a little bit in a sermon here, a little bit in a sermon here, on the presence of the Lord, the appearing versus the coming, just a little quote here, a little quote there. He didn't speak any entire sermons on these subjects, although he did speak one on the Godhead, but basically that was to answer questions for some little ladies in the church there. But it was broken down in a real simplistic way. But just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, just in moderation. You see, I like that. The teaching was given, the former rain, in moderation. Now that means it wasn't given in great detail, or not enough detail as to make it so plain that you couldn't miss it if you tried. But it doesn't say that about the latter rain. That rain is to come in such a way as to bring the seed that has laid dormant for a long season into full bloom. There's got to be a lot of that rain in order to pop out each of those little, like if you remember our message called Just Add Water. You know, Brother Brown talked about how it's got to have more water than it can take. He said just a little seed about maybe a half inch long, you know, starts a little tree about a half inch long. He said, grows up to be a huge tree, but it's all water that does that. You see? Amen. Now let me read a few more scriptures on the former and latter rain. In Hosea 6 and verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the latter rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. So the Lord's presence, he will come unto us at the time of the latter rain. Jeremiah 5 and 24, neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So it's only given to the Lord to know when that appointed time is. All right? But it'll be at the time of the latter rain. In Jeremiah 3 and verse 3, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Again, Proverbs 16:15, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Well, I think that picture there is a cloud of the latter rain. And remember, in this hour, we have both the former and latter rain together. All right. Now in James 5 and 7, and I'll point that out later. James 5 and 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. It's been 45 years. Until he receive the early and the latter rain. And remember, the early, as Brother Branham pointed out, is the mora. It's the teaching rain. Now let's see what Brother Brass says about this in paragraph 134. He says, now watch. Now remember the word mora, M-O-U-R-E-H, means teaching, the former rain. It says the mora rain, the teaching rain went forth. Billy Graham has struck the world, the Pentecostal struck the world, and the word has struck the world. Now, what's the matter now? She's now waiting for the latter rain. That's when she produces her fruits. Oh, I hope you get it. In Jehovah Jireh part 1, he says, do you know what former rain means in Hebrew word? I can't call it out right now. I never wrote it down. It skipped my mind. But former rain, the first rain, means a rain of teaching. The second rain is a spirit that comes upon what's been taught and produces the crop. Why is it that we had such a revival? Pentecostal, Baptist, all the other trees put forth their buds as Jesus said they would. And what have we hatched out? The Baptists said they got more millions more in 44. Look at the Catholics, how they've increased. Look at all denominations. Look at Pentecost. What did they do? Or what did we do? We sowed denominational seeds. We reaped the denominational harvest. Why, the church ought to be on fire for God right now. If there'd been a word seed sowed back there, and there'd be signs and wonders and miracles, and that church would be together with one heart, one accord, and marching toward Zion for the rapture. That's right. What did we do? We had intellectual speeches instead of the word. We had reasoning against the word and everything else. Now back to the spoken word, paragraph 135, Brother Bram says, then the kind of seed that you have planted in your field will be the kind of crop that you'll reap. If the denominations wants more members, that's what they're going to get. That's what they've gotten. The Pentecostal wants more Pentecostals, that's what they've got going to get. That's right. But the word's going to produce sons and daughters of God. That's coming too. Watch. Look at how that great latter rain's supposed to be done. How they would run over the wall and leap over, and how they'd be an army coming. Just wait a minute, The kind of crop that you'll get is the kind of seed you put into your field. So Brother Branham is saying, now, there is going to be sons and daughters of God too. The Pentecostals have basically, they've sowed, and they're going to reap Pentecost. The intellectual Christian has sowed intellect, they're going to reap intellect. But he said there's going to be, the word has been sowed, and it's going to produce sons and daughters of God. Not, he says, this jumping over walls and this and that. He said, what you sow is what you reap. There will be genuine sons and daughters of God. All right, two denominational kinds, you understand. The two denominational kinds will unite together to go to Sodom. But the word will stay with the elected, the royal seed. Amen. See? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two angels went down, two anointed ministers went down to Sodom to try to bring out a man that was backslidden, had a little speck of God about him, and his wife, his bride. You know what happened to her? She was disgraced. And look at his daughters, and look at what it hatched out to be after they got out. Was always a hair in the biscuit. Well, you know that's right. Excuse the expression. You know, a gaggy thing. See? So it's always, we know that. Now you can't deny God's word. But there was one that stayed with Abraham that gave a sign. Is that right? All right. One stayed back. What was Abraham and his group called? The elected seed. They never went down. They were pilgrims. They journeyed here. They journeyed there. Intradenominationals. But the denomination went down and made himself a city. And Lot became the priest or a bishop, and you know what, whatever it was there, the big man sat in the city and done the judge, you know, who says a bishop or a state presbyter. And no, he won't have that guy in our midst. No, sir, he disagrees with our theology. We can't have it. There's old Lot. There he sat. If he don't pack credentials from our group, we won't have him at all. Who made you judge over the house of God, you hybrid? Uh-huh. God's word will be preached anyhow. St. Martin went to a group like that, and that guy wouldn't even stand up to give him respect after he had broke the gate. God even burned his robe off of him, made him rise up and salute that prophet of God that entered the city. Uh-huh. See? That's right. His seat caught on fire when he was setting the throne that he was sitting on. That's right. You've read that in the history of the church. Yes, sir. He went down there with a true word, performed miracles and signs, and proved on the word that he was. And they had their own bishopric, and they had all that they wanted. And that's just what they wanted. But God's going to see that. Might have been some elected children in there, and he had to go get them. That's right. So remember, what was it? Now let's stop here just a minute. Lot once had a choice to be interdenominational himself. Is that right? He once had the choice to journey with Abraham, but the love of the world choked him out. That's what it done today. And remember, those down in Sodom never seen one of those supernatural miracles. They had a blinding, and preaching the word blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. That's what Billy Graham and them's done. Blinded the eyes of them unbelievers out there. That's right. Now, you can't deny that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming. And here it is in the Bible. See, it'll be the same thing at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, watch. But there was one which was the Word, and he was the Word, and where did he stay? With the promised one, the elected one. The Word stayed with the elected one, and the Word of God today will stay with the elected ones, the royal seed of Abraham by the promise. What kind of a work did it do? When it was manifested about 800 years later in the form of Jesus Christ, it done the same works that the one did there. The Word did at the gate of Abraham's tent. Set with his back turned to the tent, told Abraham his name was Abram. Abraham, not Abram. What it always had been, what his name? But his name was Abraham. Because God met him a few days before that, and he told him his name was Abraham. He said, "Where is thy wife?" Not S-A-R-R-A, but S-A-R-A-H. "Where is thy wife Sarah?" Like he didn't know. He said, "She's in the tent behind you." He said, "I'm going to visit you. I, the personal pronoun, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. Oh, and you're going to have that baby that you waited on. The latter rain is fixing to fall. You've hold that seed in there long enough now, unbelieving, and you're looking for a coming son, and he's coming." Amen. That's the real church today. See, that elected seed. You've been looking for him, and I'm going to send him to you. And what said that? The Word. Paragraph 141. Oh, you say, that wasn't the Word. I beg your pardon. Abraham called him Elohim. That's the Almighty Self-Existing One. He was the Word, Elohim. And where did he come to? Abraham's seed. Now remember, he had nothing to do with empty denominations. He stayed right with the elected and preached it. That's right. And showed the signs. And Jesus said, "And now wait just a little bit." Then Sarah in herself watched that pollution. See? Now actually, to disbelieve God would have killed her right there. Did you know that? And she come out and she denied Abraham. She laughed up her sleeve, in other words, to herself. Now, she never even cracked a smile, but down in her heart, and Brother Brown illustrates Sarah laughing. See, she kind of laughed a little bit. Me, an old woman, 100 years old, or 50 years old since the menopause, time of life, lived with him all those years, and why we haven't lived as husband and wife for 25 years, maybe 30, see? And you mean to say that I'm going to have pleasure with my Lord, Abraham, her husband? That's the kind of wife you ought to be, should be. Paul said the same thing, love your husband that much. Not just hybrid something out here, you see? Remember your thoughts. We'll get to that this afternoon in the womb thought. So now, in that, she loved Abraham so much she called him her Lord. My Lord being old too, and me old, and me have pleasure with him again? And see, Brother Branham illustrates Sarah laughing. And the angel showed Abraham who he was, that he was the Word. He said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" So he called her forth, and she said, "I never did." He said, "But you did." What? That's grace. See, right there, God could have slew her right there, but he couldn't. Oh, see our stupidity. He'd kill every one of us, but he can't. To kill Sarah, he had to take Abraham, because Sarah was a part of Abraham. They were one in union. And to take the church and destroy it, he can't do it, because it's part of him. Christ, part of himself, the Word being made flesh. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Couldn't do it. You get it? He couldn't kill her. He couldn't take her life because she was a part of Abraham. See, she was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And I'd like to add here that God had just promised that Sarah, through Sarah, the seed would come. So how could God kill her? You see, until after that seed came. He couldn't take her because there was a promised son to come. And she was part of that promise. Now, 144, in our mistakes, don't say, well, I made a failure. No, that don't make Abraham made failures too, see? But he couldn't take the church. He can't kill the elected. He can't take your life because you're part of himself. You're the Word. The Word is in you. It's manifested itself, proven itself. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the words of God. You believe every one of them working. God working through you, see? You're a part of the Word, which is Christ, and we are taught that He is the Word, and we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. There you are. Now we're coming down to something. So Mora, the rain, the former rain, planting rain, has went forth. Now what had happened? The former rain was being planted. The latter rain fell. What happened? Sodom and his sodomites burned. Abraham received the promised son. Jesus said, let them grow together. The tares shall be bound and bundled and burned. The garner, the wheat will go to the garner. See, the latter rain is just at hand. We're going to get, and I don't want to wait too long on that, because I got something real good back here on that. I know, and see, the two denominations will unite, Pentecostal and these others, and will unite. But the Word will stay with Abraham's promised seed as it did then. Jesus said, as it was then and can. Have you got ears to hear, eyes to see, understanding to understand with? Jesus said, as it was, is not it written? Would he say, if he was standing here this morning, would not he say this? Is not it written that as the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man? Don't you see the two harvests coming up here receiving their last shower? They come along to that last shower, see? Then what happened? The angels and the Lord disappeared. Then the rain took place. All right. Now watch real close now. Now I believe I was on this subject here. Yeah, on the rain and for the latter rain. All signs are pointing to the end. Everybody that believes God's word knows that even. Let me stop on another one right here. I'm going to have to call names. I don't mean to be rude, but I've got to. I told God that I'd pull no punches. I'd come here and just express exactly what I've known all my life, and then there's some things over here at the end I'm going to have to withhold. I know, but I'm going to express to you as far as He will let me do it, see? First time, and Mrs. Woods knows that after I got this and many more pages besides this, the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Did I call you, Mrs. Woods, and said He told me not to do that? So I went back and I prayed, and that night He come to me in a vision, and He said, go do this. Take this and place it here, because they won't understand this. It isn't time for this yet. Place this here. And I did. That's right. See? Obedience is better than sacrifice. See? All right. And obeying. All right. Now we're looking at two rains here. The former rain, which is the more rain, which is the initial teaching rain that's done in moderation. And then the latter rain, which is still a rain or doctrine. But it says nothing about it being done in moderation because, as Brother Branham said in the Spoken Words Original Seed, paragraph 95, he said, a real seed of God is an absorbent of the Spirit. And from his sermon, Hear Ye Him, he said, you people here in the country, apple raisers, as I understand, you have a lot of agriculture raising fruit. You know, when that little apple tree is just about one half of an inch high, that every bushel of apples that'll come off of that tree is in it right then. You know, every 100 pounds of leaves that'll ever fall off of that tree is in it right then. Every blossom is in it right then. Every branch is in it right then. If it isn't, tell me where it come from. Where is it at? Where does it come from? What do? You take the seed and you plant it. The little tree's coming up and it's planted. You have to keep watering it. It has to drink more than its portion. It has to drink and drink and drink and drink so much till it pushes out, and it'll push out limbs, it'll push out leaves, it'll push out apples. It's in it. But it has to keep drinking, and every word of God is a seed. And if that seed can be planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ, the believer has to drink beyond his imagination, drink and push out. Push out everything that you have need of. Because it's in you when you receive Christ. And we are planted together in Christ, and he is the inexhaustible fountain of life. And so we're looking at the latter rain coming together with the former rain in this hour. And we're looking at how the abundance of the rain, because the first rain is in moderation, is very little. But the latter rain, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And the latter rain, Brother Branham said, is comes together, the former rain comes together with the latter rain. You see? So you're not only getting the teaching rain, but you're getting the Spirit upon that rain. From who is this? He said the former rain will also come with the latter rain. Did you notice that the first rain was his own rain? After that come the rain of the apostles. And in this last days comes the rain of the apostles and the rain of the Lord Jesus. That's what's making the people cry out, Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord. And from invisible union of the bride, he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit from on high. The former and latter rain shall come together in the last days. And from things that are to be, he said, now we know that this is the day of salvation, where God is calling man from the world, from a life of sin unto a life of service. And in the day that God has poured out his Spirit from on high, great signs and wonders are to be accompanying the ministry of this day. This is when the former and latter rain are falling together. What I believe it is this. Maybe I can just make this very, very simple. But as I mentioned before, in moderation, the former rain comes in moderation, then the latter rain comes. And it has to have that former rain with it. Now, the moderation is that you've got a quote here, you've got a quote here, you've got a quote here. But the latter rain brings it and puts all the quotes together and lays it out in such a way that you can't help but understand who you are. Beloved, now are you sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what you shall be. But you know when he shall appear, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. And in seeing him as he is, you begin to purge yourself and say, if I'm a son of God, I ought to act like a son of God. I ought to live like a son of God. If I'm to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, I know it's already in me. Every apple, every thousands of pounds of apples, every hundreds of pounds of leaves are in that little 1/2-inch stem. But it takes the water to push them out, push them out, push them out. It takes a washing of water by the word to know who you are. Laying in the presence of the son to ripen, to bring forth out of you, out of the vessel that you are, the manifested sons and daughters of God. And as the first rain came in moderation, the second rain, or latter rain, does not. And so we see that both rains come together at this season. We have an abundance of rain, but just like in the days of Elijah when it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and then he said, I see the abundance of rain coming. So we have the teaching rain and the Spirit of God's presence raining down at the same time in order to bring into manifestation sons and daughters of God. And this rain just doesn't let up because the seed is now coming into manifestation and needs as much teaching, as much rain, as much doctrine as can get so that it could just pop out its little limbs as it's coming into the image of the firstborn son. That's why you can't have in this hour just a latter rain. You've got to have those quotes, that moderation, that teaching, that former rain. You see what I mean? Because no man has authority, no man has a vindication. That was already vindicated, that teaching. So that teaching has to come back in the latter rain as well. And has to be brought forth in more abundance because now you have the presence of God, the Spirit, the rain, the latter rain, and the teaching rain poured together. From Spoken Words, original seed, paragraph 95, said, and the real seed of God is an absorbent for the Spirit. All denominationals took out, all unbelief is out, and when the Holy Spirit comes into that germ of life that's laying there, it produces another seed, just exactly, another son of God is born, amen, another amateur God, son of God. So notice that Brother Brown keeps coming back to this thought on the latter rain watering the seed, bringing it into full manifestation. From paragraph 72 of the spoken word, he says, Jesus is the word of God, and he was bursted open, that life that's on the inside seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over, the spirit over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed there then. Amen? Do you understand? If the spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That clear, produce the life of the seed, for that's what it give for. And in closing, Isaiah said, in Isaiah 27, or the Lord said, I, the Lord, have planted, and I will water it day and night. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see how, Lord, that the former rain, the teaching rain, was brought forth in moderation. And yet we can see how one sermon of Brother Branham's can produce 150 sermons in this latter rain. It's the same original rain, the same original teaching, but by your Spirit, it's just pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring from Genesis to Revelation. And so we're thankful, Father, because we recognize that this is the hour that the sons and daughters of God are to be manifested. This is the hour for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we know that the manifestation that we will have is the same manifestation as the original seed, because we're ordained, we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And we're predestinated unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ. Be with us, Father, and help us never to forget who we are. Help us to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. Help us to lay by those tapes, by the washing of water, by the Word, as a righteous man is likened to a tree that plants his roots in the river of life. And so, Lord, may we be planted. May we have our tentacles, Lord, or our iPods, or the little speaker phones, or the speakers into our ears, Father. May we be linked up to that voice and to get as much of that rain as possible. May it just help us, O God, to manifest what we were ordained to manifest. For we ask it humbly in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God bless you. Wednesday night, we'll see you at 7 o'clock. God bless you.